continue our studies on Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. We were speaking in our last lesson on the 23rd Psalm, which gives to us the revelation of God as the great shepherd of his people, the one who is sufficient for every need, the one who never leaves us nor forsakes us, and the one who gives to us a tremendous prospect and hope that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I say again, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I wish indeed that every one of you who are listening in could say that honestly, the Lord is my shepherd. Now when we come to the New Testament, we have that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is indeed Jehovah Ra. He is the shepherd of his people. Now if you read through your Bible, you'll find in the prophets that there were false shepherds who didn't care for the sheep. They were false, in contrast to the one who was the real shepherd. Now in the Gospel through John chapter 10, I'm transferring you from the Old Testament to the New Testament to show that Jesus Christ fulfills the aspect of God as Jehovah Ra, the one who is the shepherd of his people. Now in John's Gospel chapter 8, our Lord has been cast out. At the end of the chapter, he had said that before Abraham was, I am. And you remember they picked up stones to kill him. And then in chapter 9, he finds a blind man. And then when you come to chapter 10, he's going to have his sheep. Having been spurned by the nation Israel, it's not going to hinder him finding and having his sheep. And I'm of the persuasion that in chapter 9, you have the blind man who was one of his sheep, and the shepherd came seeking his sheep. And chapter 10, he speaks of it. Now in this chapter, you have what God is doing. He is gathering out a people for his name. He's gathering sheep. He's forming a flock, and he's caring for them. It tells us also what the shepherd has done. He gave his life for the sheep. And then in the chapter also, we have the opposition to this precious work. You have the false prophets, you have the wolves and the hirelings, and so on. So I would like to very briefly give to you different aspects, four or five aspects, of the shepherd work of Christ. Jehovah Ra, the Lord, is my shepherd. Now in the first six verses of this 10th chapter of the Gospel through John, we find that he is the true shepherd. The shepherd, the true one, in contrast to false shepherds. You remember how the chapter starts. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they didn't understand him. Now, sometimes people take that first verse and try to preach a sermon on the fact that people trying to get into heaven different ways instead of through the door. Well, you can take that out of it, but that's certainly not the context. He's using here, our Lord is the true shepherd in contrast to false shepherds. These false shepherds would come into the fold to scatter God's people. And that's very obvious today. Now, the shepherd, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes and he takes his sheep out. They hear his voice. He calls them by name and leads them out. He separates them from the fold of Israel. If I were to go into the thing in an exegetical way, which I'm not going to do, I'm just talking about the fact that our Lord is the true shepherd in contrast to the old shepherd, to the false shepherds. And he separates his real people from those who are not, and he leads them out. Now, the second thing in the chapter, our Lord is the good shepherd, verses 7 to 11. Now, these are the verses that most Christians know. When we read in verse 7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I needn't spend too much time here, need I, except to point out that the Lord Jesus is the only entrance. He's the door in which we can come through to get into the fold with his sheep. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Oh, the guarantee of it, the assurance of it. One is reminded of John 14, 6, when Jesus said, in answering the question, "What is the way to the Father?" He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Likewise, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, where Peter said to the Sanhedrin, to the leaders of Israel, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So you see, my friend, our Lord is the good shepherd. He gave himself for you and for me and everyone else, a false. Our Lord is the only shepherd. He's the true shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who died for you and for me. And unless we come through him, we'll never have access into the presence of God. I'm very dogmatic on that. Our Savior is the only way into the presence of God. That is to be acceptable. The unsaved man, the one who rejects the Savior, must stand before God, but it'll not be with hope or judge or peace. You'll stand before God in judgment, and he will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." It's a sad thing. What is God doing now? He's saving men and women. Through who? Through his Son, Jesus Christ, who was the good shepherd. Will you please notice? And I'm tempted to go into this, and I don't want to do it. In verse 9, you've got three things. You've got safety. You have liberty. You have sustenance. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." That's safety. "And shall go in and out." That's liberation. "Find pasture." That's sustenance. And how can God do this? Because he gave his life for the sheep. You have that down in verse 11. "I am the good shepherd." Or if I can change the wording, "I am the shepherd, the good one. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." This is why he's so good, my friend. He's the only one in his class. There's none just like him. And he gave his life to redeem you and me. As 1 Peter 3:18 says, that he was as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, manifest in these last times for you and for me. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And I like that verse of dear Paul when he said in Galatians 2:20, "Who loved me and gave himself for me." And God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. He's the shepherd, the good one. Oh, friend, have you ever put your trust in him? What a Savior. What a Savior. And then in verses 12 to 16, he's the only shepherd. And let me repeat, he's the true shepherd in contrast to false shepherds. He's the good shepherd, is the only one through whom we can come into the presence of God acceptably. Now, he's the only shepherd. And you have this in verses 12 to 16. And this is in contrast to others who are wolves. The rest are just wolves. The fellow who's in a hireling and not the shepherd, who doesn't have any love for the sheep, what does he do? Well, when the wolves come, he runs away and leaves the sheep to be scattered by the wolves. But in verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. And I take it from the context, from the first 16 verses, when he said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. I take it this fold is Israel, and the other sheep are Gentiles. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. The rest are just wolves. And these are the ones in opposition to God's program in gathering sheep. These don't care for the sheep of God. And I could spend time here on the wolves today. False teachers. They don't care about people except what they can get out of them. That's the hireling. That's the hireling. He doesn't care for God's people. He doesn't love them. He doesn't stand with them in their sorrows, in their tests, in their trials, in the various aspects of life. No, the hireling is one who has no love for the people of God. As I say, one could say a great deal about this, but I'm not going to, because I want to stick to what I'm after here. I'm dealing with Christ as Jehovah Ra. He's the shepherd. He's the only shepherd. And the fourth thing about him is the obedient shepherd. In verses 17 to 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Why? Because this is my Father's commandment for me. This commandment have I received from my Father. You know, when I think of these two verses, I'm amazed as my mind runs through the scripture. I think of Philippians chapter 2, other portions of scripture, Isaiah 53, Romans 3:25, and so on. He was a willing sacrifice. He was obedient to his Father's will, and yet his death was supernatural. Now, it's true in a certain sense that our Lord's death was natural, because it was because of sin that he died. You see, you can't separate sin and death. The wages of sin is death. Our Lord never sinned. Then why did he die? Because he bore your sin and my sin. So in a certain sense, his death was natural because of sin. Not his own, didn't have any. Yours and mine. But also his death was supernatural. For I read here, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Now, there's nobody else like this. Nobody ever lived in the world just like this. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. And if you read the 19th chapter of John, when our Lord said, it's finished, he bowed his head in resignation, and yielded up the Spirit. You and I can't do that. He did that. Then he had power to take it, and he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. He's the obedient shepherd. Now, have you got all those? He's the true shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the only shepherd. He's the obedient shepherd. May I take the time to give you one more in the chapter? He's also the faithful shepherd. Verses 19, right on down through verse 30. Suppose I go right on down through to verse 26, when he says, You believe, he's saying to the Jews around him, these who were his enemies, you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to plunder them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh, the strong language that is used here. What a relationship, and what a wonderful Savior. Listen, my friend, he's the faithful shepherd. How glad I am for the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not even death or all the tests of life will ever separate any of his people from the great shepherd of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Now look at it. He's the faithful shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I'm so glad he does. He knows every one of us. He called us all by name. That's a remarkable thing. That shows not only relationship, but intimacy. He called his own sheep by name and leads them out. We had the beginning of the chapter. Now here we have it. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And now we come to some very, very strong language. And they shall in no wise, under any consideration, perish. When John wrote this, he used one of the strongest grammatical, one of the strongest grammatical statements that he could use. Amazing thing. The impossibility of ever perishing. They shall in no wise ever perish. Neither can anybody pluck them out of his hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to plunder them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Never at any time can one plunder them out of his hand. You know, in John 13, Peter used the same strong expression that our Lord used here in verse 28. The Lord here says, and they shall never perish. And there Peter in John 13, when the Lord was washing the disciples' feet and came to Peter, Peter says, thou shalt never wash my feet ever at any time. But they were washed. When man uses this terminology, he fails, but not the Lord. I say it's the strongest way he could put it. They shall never perish. Oh, when I think of Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Or you take John 17:11, Father, I have kept these men thus far, now you keep them the rest of the way. Oh, wonderful, wonderful thing. God the Father is responsible to keep everyone who comes to him. In fact, one could go to the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 27. Remember it? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So Paul could write to Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And can I kind of slip in a little wee verse from the Old Testament? In Ecclesiastes 3:14 it says, I know that whatever God does, it's forever. No one can add to it, and no one can take from it, and God doeth it that all might fear before him. Isn't this wonderful? He's the true shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the only shepherd. He's the obedient shepherd. And he's the faithful shepherd. And I'm so happy that I can say as a personal testimony today, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He gave his life for me. And having accepted his gracious call to come and accept him as Savior, I've been transformed from one who was lost into one who was found, from one who was afar off to one who has been made nigh. I tell you, my friend, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a Christian and to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I again ask the question, is he yours? Remember, he's the only shepherd. He's the true shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the obedient shepherd. And he's a faithful shepherd. He's never lost one yet, and he never intends to lose one. Why don't you become one of his sheep? By putting your trust in him, for he died to save you, and the Lord bless you.